Good night.
Uncle Newt?
Speaking.
Tell me a story.
Well, I don't think I know any stories.
You must do. You're an uncle. All uncles know stories.
Ah, but remember, I'm not really and truly an uncle. I just pose as one to get free pipe racks at Christmas.
You must know Cinderella, at least.
Cinderella? No, never heard of her. Pal of yours?
No. No. She was a little girl with a wicked stepmother.
Oh, dear. What happened to her?
I'm not telling you a story.
Well, I don't see why not. Since I don't know any, and you've got this red-hot Cinderella scoop all ready to go.
Well, Cinderella lived with her wicked stepmother.
Yes, so you said. Why was she so wicked?
Because she made poor Cinderella do all the housework.
Well, you do the housework for your mother and galley, don't you?
Yes, but not all of it. Cinderella had to do all of it. And she shouted at her and beat her frightfully. And also Cinderella had two ugly sisters.
Oh, dear. Poor girls.
No, it's poor Cinderella.
Oh, why? Was she ugly too?
No, she was beautiful.
Ah, well then, as I say, poor sisters.
No, because they were horrid. They wouldn't let Cinderella go to the prince's grand ball.
Ah, was she invited?
Yes.
How did the prince know about her?
He simply did.
Very well.
But then her fairy godmother said, Cinderella, you shall go to the ball.
I'm sorry, who said this?
Her fairy godmother.
What's that?
It's like your godmother, but she's a fairy.
These things are always so obvious when they're explained.
And she looks after you when you're in trouble.
Oh, how jolly. Where had she been up to this point, then?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
No, not at all. Odd priorities the woman seems to have had, though. When all the beating and shouting and unfairly divided housework was going on, nowhere to be seen, but once there's a sniff of a party.
So, she turned Cinderella's rags into a beautiful dress and a pumpkin into a coach and some mice into horses, and I don't want to answer any of your questions, so kindly put down your hand.
Very well.
So, Cinderella got to the ball in her dress of shimmering silk and her glass slippers. I said put your hand down.
I have two questions.
I don't want to hear them.
Simply stated, they are glass slippers and glass slippers.
Just listen. At the ball, Cinderella danced and danced.
Extremely carefully, one imagines.
And the prince fell madly in love with her.
Gosh.
But then Cinderella heard the clock begin to strike 12, and with a gasp, she fled from the palace.
Ooh, remembered another party?
Oh, no, at midnight all her things disappeared. I forgot to put that in.
Ah.
But as she ran down the palace steps, her glass slipper came off her foot and...
Oh, no, it smashed to smithereens.
It didn't.
Really? Jolly tough glass this fairy godmother makes. I don't suppose she does cucumber frames.
And the prince picked up the glass slipper and the next day...
Oh, no, he found it had disappeared.
No, it hadn't.
But I thought the scheme was that at the stroke of midnight, everything disappeared.
Not the slippers.
Oh, I see. Exception for the slippers. Righto, continue.
And so, the next day, the prince went from house to house asking all the young ladies to try on the slipper. Don't!
What? I didn't say a word. I didn't even put my hand up.
But I could see you thinking.
Well, I won't deny it seems a slightly rum scheme.
But he had no other way to identify her.
No? Not her face?
Oh.
Or her voice? Or... really, almost anything before her shoe size.
It is rather a silly story, isn't it?
Well, I didn't like to say.
You haven't even heard the silliest part yet.
Oh.
You see, when the sisters try the slipper, one of them finds it too small and the other too large. But Cinderella fits it just right.
I see. Meaning that the prince's plan was, in fact, to track down his beloved by means of her unusually average-sized feet. Anyway, I take it they marry in the end.
Yes.
Good. Seldom heard of two more foolish and unpleasant people. They richly deserve one another. Monty, here. Good dog.
John Finnemore's Souvenir Programme was written and performed by John Finnemore, with Margaret Caborn-Smith, Simon Kane, Laurie Lewin and Carrie Quinlan. Original music was composed by Susanna Pierce and performed by Susanna Pierce and Sally Stairs. The producer was Ed Morrish, and it was a BBC Studios production.
All the same, though, Uncle Newt, I do think you ought to learn some stories.
Perhaps you're right. I'll attend to the matter.